Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
If you have your Bibles, go to Psalms 23. I'm kind of changing up a few things as we fly this morning. But in 1965, the University of Florida, their football coach was a little bit like, you know what, my guys are spent. Humidity in Florida in August is obviously it's high all the time. But he watched his players kind of feel as they practiced, as they would be in the games, just the depletion level going down on them. And so he got together with some of the scientists in the university and said, hey, is there something that we could create to help our players, to give our players the edge as the game unfolds? And so they went to work and they put together a concoction, what we know now as Gatorade. And it was the aid which they began to give to the football players there, and they saw the benefits of it. And years ago, Gatorade had a campaign. It had a motto, if you will, and it was this: is it in you? Remember that back several years ago? Is it in you? And of course, the original Gatorade doesn't taste as good as this stuff does today. I mean, this is like drinking Kool-Aid now, right? But the original Gatorade was a little bit nasty, but it was created to replenish the electrolytes and the carbohydrates that the guys were, the teams, the athletes were sweating out of themselves because of the heat, and it worked. And so now Gatorade's like it. You see it everywhere. And it refreshed the players. It accomplished its mission, if you will. And this morning, I want to talk to you about from Psalms 23, verse 3, and that he refreshes me. That the Lord wants to replenish you. He wants to Gatorade you, if you will. And my question is for you this morning, are you willing to allow him to do that? Is he in you? You know, as we begin this morning, everyone has needs, don't we? We have needs to rest. We have needs to sleep. We have needs to eat. We have needs for fellowship and interacting with people. We have needs on and on. I mean, the needs are limitless in many ways. But every one of us has two primary needs. We have the need for security, and we have the need for fulfillment. And the need for security is absolutely huge. And it really presents itself in this way, that you need to know that you're loved. You need to know that you're valued. And think about this. In Matthew chapter 3, I love this portion of Scripture. As Jesus is on the scene now. He's getting ready to go public. He's been, you know, Jesus lived 90% of his life in obscurity, unknown, like you and me. And then he has this 3-year run where it's high impact, high energy, high production, if you will. But before he enters into that last leg of his life, the last 3 years of his life, he goes and he gets baptized. And his father says this of him: do you remember? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And you look at that passage of Scripture, right? My beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus has not done anything up to this point. He's not gone public in his ministry. No one knows who he is. He's not been out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights overcoming it. He has done nothing. Yet his father speaks from heaven and he says, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. You know what that speaks to you and I, that speaks security. Doesn't it? That it's not what you've done, it's not what you do, it's whose you are. And you'll be in this place, you'll live life, if you don't have the Father and you're not hearing the Father speak into your life, if you're not hearing the Shepherd speak into your life, hey, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, whom I am well pleased, then you're going to be grasping, we're going to be grasping for things to find security in that won't last. He's spoken over, he's anointed. Anointing is kind of like, is like your spiritual last name. And that the anointing of the Lord endows you with power, endows you with ability, it endows you with identity, because it's something that the Lord has placed upon you. It's something that the Lord has given you. And so you need security, but also you need fulfillment. And fulfillment is your giftedness. It's your calling. And too often we confuse our calling and with our giftedness. And calling is given as an assignment by God. And you know what your calling is? Your calling, my calling, is to love people. My calling's not to preach and be a pastor. My calling is not to be, to do whatever. My calling, your calling, is to love people. That's your calling. Your giftedness helps fulfill your call. It's the reason why you're gifted, is so that you can fulfill that call. And so God has, you know, given me different gifts. He's given you gifts to fulfill the call of loving people. And if we flip those things, we get messed up really quick, don't we? We get discouraged really quick. We get distracted really quick. Security, listen, security is on the unconditional love of God and the anointing that the family's last name, if you will, that he places upon your life. If you're called by Jesus, you've been anointed by Jesus. Amen? So as we come to today's text in our Fear No Evil series, this is important, because if you try to use your giftings and your callings as your security, I want to submit to you, you will die. You will be like the sheep that wanders off from the shepherd and isolates himself, or you're just willing to follow the herd, the crowd, our culture, and do what our culture does, and you will wander aimlessly. And the result is, if you follow the crowd, if you begin to let the culture lead you, then you begin to feast and feed on fields and meadows that are worn down and overused and have no nutrients. And the result is damage, both damage now, but damage for the future. Because what sheep, if they overgraze an area, they don't just take the green stuff off the top, they begin to root down into the root system. And now that pasture has nothing to offer them in the future because it's destroyed. It makes me wonder how often we live that way, though. How often people live that way, where they begin to jockey for the inside lane because they're more about their giftings and their calling than their security and who they already are. King David, our Old Testament hero, was there in different places in his life, different seasons of his life. And I think as we understand the pressure that he was feeling in the couple of years leading up to Psalms 23 and the season of Psalms 23, just to remind us that he was used to having the finest, right? He was a king. He had that position. He was celebrated by the crowds, right? I mean, it was said, hey, Saul has led thousands, David has tens of thousands, and the ladies are dancing for David. No one's ever danced for you and I, though, right? He's this strong warrior. He could have put his security in that. But he didn't. He also knew defeat, though. He knew failure from poor choices and betrayal. He knew the need of restoration because his soul was empty. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. In Psalms 42, verse 11, the psalmist writes this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" So here's this guy who knows earthly success and he knows earthly emptiness. And I can identify with that. Doesn't it make you feel tired just thinking about living and staying in the lane where everything is focused on you measuring up and you trying to find security in your giftings and your abilities and your talents? And we come to Psalms 23, this soundtrack, if you will, that brings a fresh cut and a life-giving rhythm to you and I. And the psalmist writes, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Today we're focusing on verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So here's the Lord's heart and his desire for you and I, is that you would be restored, that you would be refreshed, as the New Living Translation states it, that you would be refreshed in your soul. Mark Rutland, in his book, 21 Seconds to Change Your World, which we've encouraged you to pick up, there's a few more copies left out in the Welcome Center, but he says this, "Your soul is your psychological self. It's the inner bank of emotion, thought, and memory. Restore, scholars think, has two meanings, repentance and restoration." You say, "My soul is fine." It's fine. It's fine because you're following the shepherd. But if you're not following the shepherd, your soul's not fine. You're wandering because that's what sheep do. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4, the sheep, the Israelites, speaking of the Israelites, they were wandering because the prophets and the priests weren't doing their job. They weren't being good shepherds. And so God says later on in the chapter, "Listen, I'm going to step into the sheep, and I'm going to be their shepherd." In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says this, "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Sheep like to go and do their own thing. And so do you. And so do me. So do I. But the Lord's a good shepherd. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. We sing a song like Reckless Love, like we just sang, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I get it." There are some dangers, though, if you wander, right? Y'all know we did our hiking. Caleb and I did that. We climbed a 14er this last summer, and reading reports on our climb was like, "Hey, this is a difficult climb because a lot of the soil is rocky and it's gravelly, and so when you're you know going up the slopes, the soil will slip out from under you, and so you got to be alert. You got to be attentive to the terrain." Because there are some dangers when you wander. You can stumble and you can fall. And sheep follow the same paths and they get rutted and they get warned and the terrain gets more and more difficult. And remember the passage that we looked at in Psalms 42, verse 11. It says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" That statement, cast down, it's interesting. A sheep that is rolled over onto its back is called, it's an old shepherding term They're called cast down, or it's a cast sheep. It's a terrible sight. A sheep that is rolled over on its back is just that. It's kind of like, you know, remember the, this is bad, I know, but remember the 80s commercial? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Remember that? And you had the little thing and it would alert Life Watch or whatever it was called. That's, you know, that's the sheep that is cast. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. So sheep can become cast by stumbling and falling, as we've just said, but they can also become cast by a couple other reasons, a couple other ways. And the first one is really rather simple and rather innocent, is that as they go to sit down, they'll find a place that is lush and they'll sit down into the green fields, unbeknownst to them that they just sat down maybe into a divot or into a hole. And as they're laying there, they shift a little bit and then they go to get up and no longer can they get up because they're in this divot and they become cast. There's a danger in looking for and living for comfort, isn't there? Where we begin to lack discipline and endurance because we're about our felt needs, we're about our comfort, we're about new. And let me just tell you this and speak this to you, because our life group, as we were discussing last week's message, just kind of talked a little bit about this. The current trial that you are in is not a bad thing. I didn't say it was fun. I didn't say it was easy, but it's not a bad thing, because the current trial that you find yourself in is building strength for future trials. So don't be afraid of your trial, because it's developing something within you that you won't, if you quit and if you give up, when the next trial hits, you're not going to have the strength or the wisdom to endure that trial. Don't give up. There is something to be said about just saying no to some of the comforts and to some of the luxuries that we want, right? There's sometimes that you just, you know what, I could, but I'm not going to. Because just because you can doesn't mean you should. So sometimes you have to say no. Another reason sheep get in that position and become cast is that their wool gets too thick. And they become full of twigs and they become just matted mess. Go back to the other picture of that's what a sheep looks like when it's cast. Doesn't that look that's like what some of you guys are going to look like in about 2 hours. Laying on the couch. Right? Go to the other picture though. There should be another. Is there not another picture? Yeah. No, not him. That's later on. That's a bad sheep right there. Is there not another sheep that's just like bushy? Oh, I forgot to put that picture in. Okay, there was a sheep that went rogue and got lost, and they searched, they couldn't find it, and all of a sudden, this guy showed up, and he looked like the dude on Castaway. His coat was like enormous. In fact, when they cleaned it, there was 68 pounds of wool on that sheep when it cleared it off. So let me ask you, when life weighs you down, when stuff weighs you down and it begins to make you cast, what do you need to do? You need to cut some stuff off. And so the Father comes to us at times in life and he says, you know what? We need to remove some things. We need to clean some things off of you right now, so that you are able to do what I need you to do, what you need to do. The third reason a sheep becomes cast is because, to put it bluntly, because they're fat, they got overweight. Revelations 3:17 says, "For you say," Jesus is saying, "for you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." How many know material success is no measure of spiritual health, nor is affluence criteria of true godliness, right? The reality is, and I don't know what your bank statement says, and I don't know what your financial needs are, not to minimize any of that, but there's not a one of us in this room that's poor. After you go to Haiti, you ought to feel pretty good about yourself. If a sheep gets cast, it's bad news. I mean, that you see that picture of that sheep with its legs up in the air. I mean, that's a pathetic sight. It's easy prey for the buzzards, for the wolves, for the dogs, or what other prey that may be around. It's a dangerous. It's dangerous for them physically because their abdomen begins to fill up with gas that begins to cut off circulation and causes pulmonary issues. And so my question for us is, have you ever had that cast down feeling where you're just like, man, I feel like I can't, life has got me to the point, the situation I'm in this point where I feel like I can't breathe. I feel like I can't get up. I feel like I'm stuck. So the sheep are in trouble, and unless the shepherd comes and puts them right side up, like a good shepherd will, he'll roll them over, speak gently to them, get them up on their feet, and then begin to rub their legs to help the circulation begin to flow for them. And that's the goodness of the shepherd. That's the goodness of your God, that is willing to come to you and desires to come to you with your feet up in the air, willing to leave the 99 and find you out on your own while the enemy is circling to prey upon you and get you up on your feet. All that speaks to the security we need in our life, the security that is available to us because of the shepherd. He refreshes us. He restores our soul. And just a quick plug, as you know, with this Gatorade thing, as you know, you guys have brought in Gatorade so that we could take it over to the football team on Tuesday nights. And there was a couple kids that, you know, a couple of the players were like, hey, Pastor Mike, you bring in Gatorade. We need that Gatorade, man. It's just like, oh, after a hot, hard practice, it's like, it feels so good. And I don't know if it was because of the Gatorade, but I know probably the Gatorade helped build a bridge, because one of the other players that's connected to Life Point, I know Caleb in the past had invited the kid to come to youth group, and that kid came to youth group, and it'll be 2 weeks ago this coming Wednesday that the kid stood out in the foyer and screwed in a light bulb and said, Jesus, refresh my soul. Amen? He refreshes us. He restores our soul. Let's quickly look at the rest of the verse. Verse 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, this psalm is a pilgrimage to the promises of God. You haven't arrived. So, some of you in this room today haven't even started. Some of you have taken a major detour. And the shepherd is gazing out, looking for you and calling to you, telling you, come home. Some of you are faithfully moving in step with the shepherd. And he's saying to you, keep going. Come on, let's go. You're doing great. He leads me in paths. Our spiritual journey requires intentionality in our part. I mean, go put that picture of Jabba the Hutt. What a sore sight. But how many know that is not a good example of what God has in store for you for your spiritual life? Thank goodness, right? The Apostle Paul writes about his adventure and hardship of faith in 2 Corinthians 11. He writes about shipwrecked and being hungry and being whipped and without sleep and danger and stranger danger and some more danger and other danger and stranger danger. And it was just a bad season, you would think, for Paul's life. Yet in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says this, but he said to me, speaking of the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, because none of that is my identity. None of that is I'm getting my security from. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because I know my shepherd is with me. The good shepherd needs to lead the sheep to different pastures. Sheep's tendency is just to overgraze in areas, we've already said, not only removing grass for the now, but for future generations. The shepherd must guide the sheep to different areas so that there is nourishment for now, but also nourishment for the future. So the Lord would say to you, you can't camp where you're at right now, because there's other places of nourishment for you. And there will be a time where you'll come back to this place and be able to nourish here, but now is not the time. We got to go. Philip Keller writes in his book, A Shepherd's Look, at Psalms 23, the greatest single safeguard which a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move. Here is the truth about that. Most of us don't like to do that. We like to settle. We want easy peasy. Yet Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. Luke chapter 8, verse 34. Most of us don't like to deny ourselves, to give up the right to make our own decisions. Man, yesterday kind of was like our free day and our eating for the week. And so it was like, let's get it on, right? God, I'm like, I'm not denying myself any of these corn. What's those candy corn, those unhealthy, evil things? And salted peanuts, man, I'm just like grazing on those things. And dinner last, is just like, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul and all the corn nuts within me. We don't like to deny ourselves. We don't like to follow the lead. We want to lead. Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. We can just follow the crowd. We can do what everyone else is doing. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to men. But in the end, what? It leads to death. Righteousness is about right thinking. Right? And if you follow where God leads, it should change your thinking from wrong thinking to right thinking. From stinking thinking to righteous thinking. Rutland, in his book, 21 Seconds, says this, God is always leading me along paths of healing, and that includes my mind. He wants me to think right and doesn't just tell me to do it. He leads me there. Dr. Henry Cloud said this, a great insight to your mind. Track with me. A great insight into your mind. How do you interpret events when you don't know why they occurred? Someone doesn't call you back or answer an email. Someone doesn't say yes to an invitation. Observe where your mind goes. Because my guess is, a lot of times, where does our mind go? Oh, they just think they're better than me. Oh, they don't have enough time for me. Oh, they do. And we go where someone replied back to him, there is always more to the story. It reminds me that I am not the center of the universe, and life is far more complex than what I may understand. Obviously, this righteousness deals with our thinking and our living. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How many noticed? David didn't say path, but paths. God wants us to experience right thinking in all the diverse pathways of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your health, in spiritually. Everything that you are, he wants you to have right thinking in those areas. Listen, you're not called to be like me and do what I do, and I'm not called to be like you and to do what you do, but all of us are called to think on the things that are life-giving. God is the author of life. The heart of the shepherd is to guide the sheep to right paths. It isn't go however you want. All roads, all paths will get you there. As you're walking the path, the Lord is wanting to speak to you. Hey, you're doing good. Man, keep it up. Awesome. Man, look how far you've come. Careful over here. It's a little bit slick. Hey, man, there's some water. Don't drink that water. It's been sitting there for a while. It's a little polluted, but that water means that there's some fresh water around here somewhere. Maybe it's just right around the bend. Let's go. Come on. Keep it up. Hey, watch your step. We're almost there. The Lord speaks to us through his word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He speaks to us through spiritual gifts. That's why we're doing the Power for Life class, because we're going to part of that class, not all of it. Part of it's going to deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. As you are in his word, your sensitivity to his voice is developed. Some people say, man, God never speaks to me. My first question to you are you in his word? Because he's not going to reveal something to you. He's not going to necessarily impress you or use a spiritual gift to speak to you if you're not even responding and living according to this. I mean, this is like black and white, right? This is clear. And if we're not responsive to what we read, why do we think that we'd be responsive to what he would speak to us? The written and spoken should confirm and complement each other. There's a story, Josephus, he was a Jewish historian back in the time of the early church. And he tells a story in one of his writings that there was a 9-year-old shepherd. The Romans had taken occupation and had gathered up all the sheep, and all the sheep of the shepherds in the area were in this one huge pen. And this little 9-year-old kid comes to this Roman soldier whose task is guarding the pen, and the little kid says, hey, listen, I want my sheep. I have 200 of my sheep are in that pen. And the Roman soldier is like, you know, kid, get out of here. There's thousands of sheep in this pen. Your sheep don't know you. And you don't know, you can't pick your sheep out. They look all alike. Just get out of here. And the little shepherd boy, 9 years old, begins to call his sheep. And 200 sheep make their way to where that 9-year-old boy is. And the Roman soldier's just dumbfounded. And he lets the kid take his sheep. Because when you know the voice of the shepherd, you respond and move on the path that he directs. And when he prompts, when he whispers, when he speaks, you're like, hey, there's the path that I need to be on. And it may look scary, and it may be narrow, and it may be hard, but I know that that path is going to lead me to a place that's good. And when we don't know the word or his voice, then we're like, who do I listen to? And we begin to listen to the loudest voice, don't we? We begin to listen to the media. We begin to listen to social media. We begin to listen to friends, and hopefully our friends' counsel is good. We begin to listen to the lies of the enemy. We begin to listen to our experiences, all of which can get us off the right path. So as we wrap this up, we don't have time to unpack this statement, for his name's sake. But let me just say this. And he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why does he say his name's sake? I mean, doesn't that sound like a little self-absorbing God? I mean, like, this isn't really about the sheep. It's about your name. Here's what it's about. throughout the Old Testament, there's various names of God given to us. But listen to the names of God that are seen in Psalms 23. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord will heal and restore. You anoint me, the psalmist says. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. It makes me think of the great hymn of the church. Oh, for a thousand tongues we sing, Charles Wesley penned, if the worship team would come. Here's the backstory to that hymn. When Charles Wesley was converted, he had been ill in bed for some time, and the fear of death had come into his mind. And so on Sunday, May 21st, 1738, his brother and some friends came in and sang a hymn. And after they went out, he prayed alone for some time. And then in his journal, we read this: I was composing myself to sleep in quietness and peace when I heard one come in and say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and believe. Thou shalt be healed of all thine infirmities. The word struck me to the heart. I lay musing and trembling with a strange palpitation of heart. I said, yet feared to say, I believe, I believe. These memories he has woven into the wonderful third verse of the hymn. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis the music in sinners' ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know if it's a need of restoration and refreshing. I don't know if your need is a need of security. I don't know if your need is that of staying on the paths of righteousness because you have seen yourself and you have felt yourself diverting to different paths that are presenting themselves to you. But yet this morning, you've heard over and over again throughout the service, listen, I didn't circle people up and say, hey, this is what I'm preaching on. I think it would be cool if maybe the Lord would prompt you with the word of the Lord to say this. But yet, every word that was spoken fits right into Psalms 23:3. Michael and I didn't get together today and say, hey, I think it'd be fitting if you said, did the song Reckless Love today. But yet, we sing a song that fits right into our text today. Can you hear the voice of the shepherd calling to you? Offering you salvation. Offering you righteousness, healing, and peace, and presence. Father God, this morning as we bow our heads and our hearts before you, we recognize that you are God and we are not. And Lord, lest I miss my guess, there are many in this room that need refreshed. They've been in a physical battle with sickness and they're tired. They need your anointing. God, many in this room this morning need to hear the words of their Heavenly Father. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter whom I am well pleased. I rejoice over you. I thank the world of you. and I am with you. Come to me. God, we love you. For those that need salvation in this room, they're looking for their hope in so many other things than you. God, today, may today be the day of salvation for them, that they would be refreshed because Scripture would give them this term, that they've been born again or they've been reborn of the Spirit and they're alive in Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never let Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior, and as we've worked through this message, this text this morning, there's been something resonating in you. There's this pull going on in your heart. You've never experienced it before, but can I just tell you that's your Heavenly Father wanting to be your God, wanting to be your Father, pulling you to Himself just as you are so that He can make you whole, so that He can restore you. And you're here this morning and you've never allowed Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to lead your life. And you're here this morning and you're saying, I need to do that. Steve, will you pray for me? If you're here, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand? If that's your desire. Steve, man, would you pray for me? I need to do that. Anyone at all say that? God, you know every heart in this place. God, you know where we stand with you. And Lord, I want every one of us to stand whole and complete before you as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, for the rest of us that just need to be refreshed, God, may we find a place in this altar this morning just to bow before you and to allow you to fill us and to renew us and to strengthen us, Lord.
Everybody dance. Everybody,
this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.